addition to the Eidos lineup. Your goal is to go a little deeper than we usually do. We usually try to go for more for breadth. We're going to go a little bit more for depth. And what we hope to do on the Sunday nights throughout the summer are pick classical topics of what's called lumdus, and to look at a Gemara, not just how it fits into the big picture, but really drill deep to understand the true meaning. This one's a little different. I start with a fact pattern.
What does lumdus mean?
What?
Lumdus?
Untranslatable.
Again,
yeah,
then you think?
Right, yeah. I actually had this case this year, and it happened to be a fascinating case. This is the Psak, but I changed the names and the address. but the facts and the numbers actually are all true. Story is as follows: two neighbors, and one fellow is married, thank God, with six children. The other fellow is a retired guy who doesn't live there anymore, who rents out the house. The fellow with the large family turns to the other guy and says, I'd like to purchase your house. And, you know, this is a minute that's also happened in Denver. I'm going to knock it down. I'm going to make a big one. And the guy said, you know, I'm financially well-to-do. I don't really need this. I'm not interested. So the guy says to him, so they work out one deal. So just to give you an idea of what type of money we're dealing with, so there's three houses, one, two, and three. And this is the house of the fellow with the kids, this is the guy without the kids, and this is another neighbor. So he says, I'll buy this house for you, right, if you just give me your driveway, so I can have 8 more feet. So in fact, so that deal they make. So he paid $700,000, he bought the house, and he basically traded the house for a driveway.
So he could expand his house.
Right. So therefore, he was able to make his house up to his property line and use the other driveway. That was the idea here. But it gives you an idea of, you know, how important land is to this fellow, A. And B, the price of houses in the area, $700,000. So the guy originally said, I'll give you $1 million for your house. You know, 50% over market. The guy said, not interested. Over the next 10 years, it went to $1.5 million, to $2 million, to $3 million.
That he's offering, or it's
he's offering.
Okay,
he's offering, right? Right. Finally, in October, he goes up to $3.6 million. Okay, this is he said, I really need your plot. $3.6 million. The guy says, I'm not interested, but he says, if you offered me $5 million, I'd have a hard time saying no. So he said, I don't want to make it hard on you. I'm not paying $5 million. That's the facts. What? Everybody's Jewish. Everybody's Jewish. So what happens now is, out of the blue, a week later, a real estate broker calls up the owner, right, the guy who is referred to as Goldberg in this case, and says to him, I got a buyer for your house, $5 million. Unrelated to anything. The guy says, wow. So, but you know, I have this next-door neighbor, Smith. He's been offering me all the time. I have to give him first refusal. Calls up Smith and says, listen, you're not going to believe this. I just got an offer for $5 million. But you get first refusal. So the guy said, who offered it to you? He said, I don't have any duty to tell you who offered it to me. Do you want it or don't you want it? So he said, I don't really believe you have an offer. I'll go up to $4 million. That's as far as I'll go. To which he said, listen, I've got an offer for $5 million. Your $4 million doesn't cut it. The offer, the guy says, if I can deliver the house clean, tenant-free, by January 1st, by January 1st closing, $5 million. He said, enjoy. It's yours. 2 days later, Goldberg finds out who the buyer is. And he realizes this is a guy who just sold his house for $5.4 million, who wanted to live in this area. And he realized that this is a serious offer. Comes running back,
yes,
and he said,
Haruta.
Yes. Comes running back and he says, I'll give you the $5 million, same closing, and I'll get rid of the tenant. Now, this is a significant counteroffer because the tenant, a long-term tenant, had said to Goldberg, you want me to leave $250,000? Okay? So, the guy says, well, and you'll take care of the tenant also. Said, let me call back Jones and see what he says. Calls up Jones, and Jones says, fine, we'll take it with the tenant as well. $5 million.
The plot thickens.
Unbelievable. Reality always beats fiction. Right. So what happens is, Goldberg calls back Smith and says, sorry. He matched your bid.
That's it.
To which Smith responds and says,
but I'm the bar mitzvah.
What does bar mitzvah mean? So there's a halacha which we are going to discuss today, which says as follows, that in the event that I have a neighboring field to your field, this actually in English is called the law of the abutter, if my field abuts your field, then I have a right of first refusal. Whatever anybody is willing to pay for that property, I have a right to buy it. And in fact, if someone else buys the property, the Gemara says that that person is made into a shliach of mine. I just give him, he's my agent, I just have to give him the money, and that's it, I can buy it. So he says, you can't sell it to him, I'm the neighbor. He said, but you were mochel already, twice. I offered you the two things, and you said no. He said, it was a mechira betalos. I thought you were kidding. He said, you thought I was kidding. Next time you'll believe me. You thought I was a liar. That's your big defense? So everybody shows up in Basin together. Smith, Jones, Goldberg, they all say,
whatever the Basin says, we'll do.
We only have one request. Please pass like a Sephardi. That was the only request.
So that's what that means.
Don't write a 50-page answer.
No,
that's not what it means. It means that if Ashkenazim hold one way and Sephardim hold the other way, we would like the Sephardi answer. Even though you're an Ashkenazi Beis Din, we would ask that you please
which means
follow.
They were both Sephardim.
It could have meant that.
Who is Jewish? Also a Jew?
Everybody's Jewish.
Okay.
Everybody's Jewish.
Jones and Smith.
Jones, Smith. O'Flannery. They're all Jews. Everybody's Jewish here.
I just want to make sure it's all the family here.
Pete Ali Eden. Smarty. Vasquez, Jewish Smarty. So this is the fact pattern laid out before you. This is an actual case. And the question is right. So let's just see what we're trying to figure out here. What we're trying to figure out here is, on the one hand, the guy is the neighbor. That is true. On the other hand, the neighbor already says, I don't mind selling to the other guy. And now the guy's saying, I only said that because I thought you didn't have a buyer. So Dina de Bar Mitzvah happens to be a wonderful sugya, because in most areas of halacha, in order to there are gemaras sprinkled throughout Shas. You got a little in this mitzvah. Dina Bar Mitzvah only applies on one daf in the whole Shas. Out of any other gemara that's like that way. Right? Daf Kuf Chof in Bava Metziah, that's Dina Bar Mitzvah, no more, no less. So let's look at the gemara, let's get the idea. So we start off at number one, a very good place to start. Mar Shmuel, Chaim Man de Ichzik Bar Koso Denara Chatzifa Leis Rikul Misalkin Le. He said, if these we're discussing now cases of people who do things that morally are not right, do we step into it? So, for example, let's say there is an area on the side of the river where the boats generally unload, a public area, and some guy goes and buys that piece of land from the government. Right now, this is a problem because everybody now is in trouble.
Yeah, it's everybody else.
Right.
It's tax.
So I said, it's a chatzifa, that's a chutzpah. But that's as far as it goes. We're not going to stop him from doing it. We're not happy about it, but that's it. In the Kakasi Parsoi, Knilach Admiroids have very susain maya slukin amisalkinway. However, nowadays, where when you buy that, they say that you're allowed to also have water rights out until the point of where it's up the neck of the horses, as far as the horses can go, then we actually throw them out because it becomes an impossibility. Because if he's going to get the water rights there, now it does become difficult, it becomes impossible, then we'll move him. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Haiman de Ichzik Beini Achi Beini Shutfi. Let's say there's two partners that have pieces of land, or there are two brothers that have pieces of land, and I buy the middle piece. Right? What's the deal there? Chatzifa, that's a chutzpah. It's also, however, sluki omis halkinam. So So according to the opinion of Yer Yehuda in the name of Rav, it's not nice what you just did. You made their lives miserable, but we're not going to throw you out.
We know somebody who did that, or they have that situation.
Okay, so they would probably care about this year then. Rav Nachman Omar, Nami Misalkina. Rav Nachman says, no, you throw the guy out for doing that. Vimishim Dina de Bar Metzra or Misalkinle. But if it's just because of Dina de Bar Metzra, it's only because the guy has a right to buy it next door, that's not enough. Nahardoi Ami Afilu Mishum Dina de Bar Metzra Misalkinle. Mishum Shenema Vasisa Yoshev Satobe Neoshev. There's a passage that says you have to do the right and the good in the eyes of God. And therefore, this is not good. If somebody goes and buys the next door plot of land, that's not right. We make the guy sell it.
Wait a second. Next door plot of land between
the
two?
Between the two. Right. Again, Dina Dametsa, even if it's not between two, if it's the one next to it. Also, Imichbe. So, Amr Leis, Ezel Izvun. So Malay Zil Zovin. So what if the guy went over to him and said, listen, I know you're the neighbor. Okay? I want to buy this piece of land. If you're gonna go and chop it from me, I'm not gonna buy it. So tell me, should I buy this piece of land? Because if you're gonna buy it at the same price, I'm just gonna walk away. He said, no, go buy it. So mikne mine oro. So does he have to make a kinyan saying that I give you the rights or not? Ravina Omer, lo tzarech mikne mine. Ravina says, no, once he says the words, it's yours, it's gone.
Nahardoi
says it has to be a kinyan. If I just say it, that's not enough. V'hilchasa, how do we paskin? Tzarech mikne mine. Unless you did a kinyan, if I just say, go buy it, that's it. So, let's apply the Gemara to our case.
What kind of a kinyan?
Can I write something?
Bring over the Yitzhak Chasmi. Bring over the photographer.
Can I just write a document? Can I write a document and sign it? Would that be enough of a kinyan?
Yeah, Shtar would be a kinyan also. Right? But he says, unless there's a kinyan, if I just say go. So
if you just say go, it's not enough.
You have to actually do something. So let's apply this to this case. Well, if I just read the Gemara, what would you say? Who wins the case?
It doesn't seem like there was a
Kenyan.
There's no
Kenyan,
so.
Right? The guy was Mochel. Was a Mechil without a Kenyan. The Mechil without a Kenyan is not a Mechil, according to the Gemara. It's not a Mechil, and that's it. So the neighbor, so Smith, who said, go sell it to someone else,
he should be able to have the right to get it.
The problem is, Shtar's also nowadays, on the American court, you have a certain amount of time where you can terminate the contract or whatever it is. So even that is not necessarily a real
form. I made a kinyan chalipin. You made a shtar. You've got a problem with your shtar. So come back to my chalipin.
Right, because I can.
There is no right of first refusal unless it's written specifically.
Right, this is right.
Unlike the law of the Gemara.
Right.
Excuse me. I'm a little confused because Smith says, I'll take the property once he has the other offer. Then Jones says, well, I'll get rid of your guy.
Comes
so he comes back to Smith and says, look, he's going to get rid of it. He says, I'll take the same deal. Doesn't Smith have the first right of refusal still?
No, they did. So the argument is Smith lost the right of refusal.
Because?
When he said, go sell it to someone else.
But that was...
Yeah, she's Mocho. He said, go sell it to someone else.
He waived but there was right no Kenya. By saying, right? I don't want it anymore, go sell it.
So once he had a legitimate offer.
But there was no Kenya.
There was no Kenya, right. So again, so the Gemara would seem to say, right, that's what it sounds like. Just do Rashi, one line of Rashi. He said, Yosha Tov, Dover Shiata Nechzer Kolkach, Chitimsa Kokos Mokomacher, Votichachal Ben Meitzar Yos Nechosav Chalukin. He said, what's the right and the good here? The right and the good here is, this piece of land, for me, the outside is worth as much as any other piece of land. Right? Right? So for me, there's no tremendous loss to just go buy the next piece of land. For this guy, he's going to have a piece of land here. He's going to have to fence a lot more. It's going to be very hard for him to watch the both of them. So be a reasonable guy. That's what he's saying. Rambam quotes this halacha. Bo lokeach v'nimach v'dei neitzar. If the person who's going to buy it turns it to the goes to the neighbor, right? V'amalo hare ploni ben ameitzar shalcha rotzalim kor lisada. Your neighbor wants to sell me a field.
Elach ve'ekach v'menu, should I give him? Vamalo, lech v'kach. Yeah, go do it. Robotos zechusav.
He still has his rights.
V'yesh v'salko also achar sheyikne. Ela imkein konu miyado. And after he buys it, he has a right to take it to him, unless there was a kinyan before him. V'medvar marurim, shetzar kinyan, kishemach lo kodem sheyikne. Now that's only before he bought his kona. Aval imachlo zechuso acher shelakach gon shabar ben bar mitzvah v'siat imo o socher mimenu o shara o sabone v'soser. In the event the guy actually bought it and he said, "Do you mind? Do I mind? Not at all. I'll help you move in." Right? He helps him out. Right? He goes. He realizes that he's doing construction. He doesn't say a word. Kol shu mishtamech v'lo micha bov v'lo ira hareza machlo v'shuv eno yochel l'salko. So the rabbi is saying that the whole idea of mechila or tzarech kinyan, that only applies in the case where it was kone shekone. What's the logic behind it? So the logic,
I don't know what that means.
What?
I didn't understand that.
It means that only before he bought it. If before he bought it, he says, "I don't mind." But if he says it after he bought it, "I don't mind," then he can't get back, even if
there
was no kinyan.
Got it.
The logic seems to be as follows, right? So what the Rishonim point out is, what's the sense? So as he said, I turn around, I've got Cal Ryback's my neighbor. Shlomo comes up to me and says, "I want to buy Cal's place. You know, do you mind?" I say, "I don't mind." Why don't I mind? Because I know Shlomo's paying $800,000 for it. If I buy it from Cal, he's going to charge me $1.2 million because he knows I need to pay. So I'm very happy. So I say, "Shlomo, go buy it. Buy it, for sure. I have no kindness on you. Please, go buy it." Right? So my argument is, the whole reason I was mochel was because
money.
Right, because I wanted, this was a smart business move for me. But I turned around and I wanted Shlomo, "Yeah, go buy it." Huh? Now I'm going to get it for $800,000. If I said, "Shlomo, don't buy it," I said, "Kala, I hear it's for sale, I want to buy it." "Oh, you want to buy it? $1.2 million, special for you." I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was this guy, I said, most people, Asimonim? People remember Asimonim?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, anyone need to know what Asimonim are? This is very important.
Tokens for the phones.
For the phones.
The Israeli phones are quite a very oddly shaped coin.
with a
hole in the slot. Very interesting. Yeah. So whenever you needed to make a phone call, you never had one.
Right.
So they used to call them like 10 for a shekel or something.
Right.
So there was a guy in the base medrash who was selling them 4 for a shekel. Because he knew that there was a market. So the guy walks in one time and he says, "Come on," he says, "4 for a shekel." He says, "But it's an emergency." He said, "Emergency? Shekel each." Right? Right? So too here, you know, Cal, "Oh, you need it? 1 point." So that's why, but let's say Shlomo already bought it. And at that point I say, "I'm Michael." So the whole logic doesn't apply anymore. Right? The logic
doesn't complete.
Right, because it's done. At this point, if I wanted it, I could take it. At this point, I say I don't walk. I don't need a Kenyan to show I'm serious and I'm not just doing it because I want to get it at a cheaper price. So that's what the rabbi seems to be saying. That the whole reason that you require a Kenyan is only in that case where there's a strong possibility I'm being mocha because I want it to go the other way. Based on this, the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Simcha.
You can still say, maybe you can offer Shlomo.
Why would I want to offer?
Pay 1.2.
Right, but once Shlomo buys it, I can get it for $800,000.
Maybe.
For sure.
He's mechoyev to sell you.
He has to. Shlomo was my shliach.
Oh, he's your shliach.
What?
Got it.
I didn't object until after Shlomo bought it. But so you still have the option of coming in and saying, "You know, Shlomo, I can give you."
But why would I offer Shlomo $900 when I can get it for $800? Shlomo's a nice guy and all, but he does want it, but I want it
more.
Also.
Okay.
Even if I want it as much.
Are you going to sell it for $800? No.
He has to.
He has no choice.
He has no choice.
Because
that's the rule.
The rule is I have to sell it at the price I bought it.
That's the rule.
Because he has the first right of refusal.
Right. That's right.
So it comes as a business transaction. You didn't object until after Shlomo bought it. So the Rambam, now you have no rights to the property.
No. According to the Rambam, if when he bought it, and I knew about it, I didn't object, then I can't.
You
right?
waived so, your
right.
Right.
Tricky.
Right.
Got it.
Because
okay.
again, at that point, if I change my mind, I could try to negotiate. But why would I do that? I could. The minute he buys it, I can say, "Welcome, neighbor. Goodbye, neighbor." That's it. Here's the check. Thank you. You were very helpful.
Right. We're making a kiddush for my new Hanukkah Sabbath. You're invited.
We're gonna have kishka.
You love it.
$400,000 worth of kishka.
Right. Oh, it's gonna be schmaltz herring. It's gonna be amazing. It matches everything you can.
Money saved. Exactly.
He didn't
12 herrings with 12 shvatim.
I'm saying it doesn't seem ethical because.
What's that?
Because you didn't say I am interested in that property.
I don't have. Yeah, that's what the word says. I don't have to because
he didn't say he wasn't interested. He said just at that price. Go ahead.
All I'm doing is I'm evening the playing field.
Right. He could have technically said to him, "I want it for $800,000." He just said, "Go and sell it to him at that price." He's not saying that he's not interested. He's saying, "Go ahead and sell it to him at that price."
But if you're going to go in and try and take the property. That's not a very friendly thing to do.
This is it. It's an $800,000 property. Cal was hell. Was holding me up. You know how Cal gets.
So, I do understand that part.
Right. So this is my way of evening the playing field.
I chew them.
Right. So that's okay. Now stop a second and reconsider our case. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara talks about the case where Shlomo came over to me, right? Shlomo, in this case, is Jones, right? I'm Smith. And he says, Goldberg wants to sell the property. You know, are you going to take it from me? I said, go, don't worry about it. That's not what happened in our case. What happened in our case?
Cal came to you.
Right, Cal came to me. And Cal said, you know, before I sell it to him, you want to buy it? And I say, no. Does the logic apply here? The logic that we said here, the Rambam is saying, right, the underlying understanding of the Rambam is the reason I said to Shlomo, I don't mind, is because
I knew eventually
I wanted to buy it. Wanted to buy it, and then I'm going to get it.
Race. Exactly.
But when I said to Cal, Cal's offering me the same price as he's offering Shlomo.
Why wouldn't you take it at the same
right.
price?
Right. So if I say no to Cal, is that the same as saying no?
That's
after
a first refusal, it seems.
Right. So even though the Gemara says that I require a kinyan, the Gemara only says right. So Gemara Rambam says only says you require a kinyan because I could be playing this game, right? And so therefore, if it was after he bought it already, and then I say I'm mochel, I don't need a kinyan anymore. So could I apply the same logic to say that if it wasn't the new buyer who comes to the neighbor,
but
rather it's the seller who comes to it, right? So that's the case, right? So if I'm going to make that argument, that even though the Gemara says that it requires a kinyan, if there's no kinyan, that it only requires a kinyan if you're talking to the potential buyer. But do you require a kinyan for the potential seller? And of course, the entire case is riding on this.
Okay.
How we understand this, right? Because again, the Gemara says you require a kinyan, right? If you're going to deal with this in a simple, not without any rigor of mental activity, if I have mental laziness, Shlomo, if that would happen, I'd say good, done, no kinyan. Thank you, you guys, you get the house. But here, if you think about the logic. Right, and you look at the Rambam, it turns the whole thing around because there's a reason why you require a kinyan, and it doesn't always apply, and this case is not parallel. Yes.
I don't understand why the seller's even in the case. He got his money. He's getting rid of the house. The other two are the fighters. It determines who gets the house.
So what you're saying is that practically the seller didn't have to show up today.
Yeah.
Right? The seller could just go walk in and say, so you are right. The seller is not a party to this case. The two buyers are the parties. However, the seller is a necessary witness. Right? Because clearly there's no one who knows more what's going on here than the seller. And you're right. And he's the most believable witness out there because he's got no skin in the game. Either way, he's walking. Either way, he's getting $500 million and he doesn't care about the tenant. Right? That's right.
But,
and as he said the other day, I love both these guys. This guy's been a great neighbor. This guy's an old family friend. I don't mind selling either of them. They're both good for the money. They're both going to pay cash. That's it. I don't care. I'm just here. But tell me what to do. You're absolutely right.
But when you turn Cal down, is that not first refusal?
Well, that's the question.
That's the question.
I say afterwards, if I turn Shlomo down, I can say, ha-ha, just kidding. But if I turn Cal down, Can I say the same thing? Because why were you kidding? You wanted a better price? I offered you dollar for dollar the same price. Right? If you weren't mochel. So let's take a look at the Mordechai. So the Mordechai says, Amalei Rabar Metzah Izvin. So if he said, Amalei Zil Zivin Tzorcha Mikne Mine Olam. So Kosov Rabbeinu Simcha V'zeh Roshono V'fi Ani Yizdaiti Ein Ramocher Esach Im HaMatzron Afim Hoyim Makabo Kinyin Min HaMatzron Ohoyim Mo'il Lohoyim Bo'o V'gedol Mizu Amru Afim Im Hoyim Lokeach Makabo Kinyin Mimenu Kodim Shekano Ein Ba'osa Kinyin Klum. So he says, you know what? He said, when we're talking about, he said, let's, so he actually turns to our case. It's not where the potential, the neighbor is negotiating with the buyer, but the neighbor is negotiating with the seller. And he says, the way I see it, so he said, Ein le mocher, right? The mocher, the seller being Cal, in this case, or Goldberg. Isak im hamatzren with the neighbor, afil mikal kinyan. He said that what is the rule of dina de bar mitzvah? Dina de bar mitzvah means that if somebody other than me buys the house, I have a right to announce that that person was my shliach. Prior to the guy buying the house, what rights do I have? None. Right. I have no rights in my neighbor's property. I can't sell the rights, right? I can't say that they know. There's nothing. Until a sale happens, there's nothing to talk about. It doesn't exist.
Wait a minute, until the sale happens or until the property is put up for sale?
He's saying the sale.
Until the sale happens.
So why?
Right?
Because
think about this, right? Let's say I walk in and Cal says, I'm selling my house to Shlomo for $800,000. I say, don't do that, I'll give you $800,000. He says, I never liked you, you made too much noise, you were a bad neighbor, your dog, and you did stuff on my lawn, and I'm not, you're gone. I'm selling to Shlomo. Can I stop that sale?
Yes.
Sure.
No.
Because?
I cannot stop the sale.
Why?
I can take it from Shlomo. When the sale happens, I have a right to take it from Shlomo. But I have no right to stop the sale. Until a sale is made, I have no rights whatsoever.
So according to Halacha, Zussmans could have technically come to me and taken the house from me?
We'll see. It would seem that way.
Is that the Mordechai or the Rambam?
So it's the Mordechai quoting Rabbeinu Simcha.
Quick enough.
Shouldn't Cal let Shlomo know what you're up to?
Maybe the O'Connors can come in.
Shouldn't Cal let Shlomo know what you're going to do?
He could, if Cal and Shlomo, what they do is between
I understand, them. But...
But Shlomo should be aware. Shlomo should be aware about the fact,
yeah,
even without Cal telling him that no, I have rights.
Yes, that you...
Right. Right, when he does the title search, it should come out that there's a neighbor.
A Jewish neighbor
with deep pockets. So the Rabbeinu Simcha takes a very different view of this. He says that when the Gemara says it requires a kinyan, that has to be after.
Wait, which is the kinyan now?
Yeah. Now the story is...
Is the kinyan between the seller and the
a kinyan between the two of us can happen, right? Because I don't have rights here or anything, but I can tell you, we can make an agreement that I won't... Just like I can sign a release, that in the event of X, Y, and Z, I won't prosecute... I could also have a kinyan. I could sign a release that I will not use my rights of bar mitzvah. But when it comes to me and Cal,
you're not.
I have no rights. So I could say, Cal, I'm not interested. I could do a kinyan. I could sign a document. I could do a secret handshake. Right. I could pick up a pen. It doesn't matter, Rabbeinu Simcha says, because even with a kinyan, I can't be mochel. Now, applying Rabbeinu Simcha to our case...
Until the sale takes place.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, even with a kinyan. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Rambam says that after a sale, that with a kinyan only means before the sale. Rabbeinu Simcha says that not everything has to be after. When dealing with him, it has to be after the sale because there's no rights beforehand. There's nothing for me to sell. I can, nothing for me to be mochel. I don't own anything. According to Rabbeinu Simcha,
you can sell your right to take the field in the future.
No, I can't.
From Shlomo, why not?
No, I could tell Shlomo, right, that I will not go after you.
And here's a star.
Right. However, let's say Cal buys it instead. Can I go after Cal?
Yeah.
Right. Mean that this is a me and Shlomo, but me and Cal, I have no rights to anything that Cal does.
You're
so let's apply Rabbeinu Simcha to our case. Okay, according to Rabbeinu Simcha, what happens? The seller, Cal Goldberg, comes over to me, right, Smith, and says, "You want it?" And I say, "Mochel." So according to Rabbeinu Simcha, even if I say Mochel and here's a Kenyan on it, I can still go after it afterwards. So,
because what you said before, really, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. Because he really had no right to say it.
Right. Anyway. Right. It's nice. Again, the
question is if it's an ongoing right all the time, or it starts at a certain point.
Right. So it's like clearly it starts. Correct. Right. And that's why if I want to get an injunction to stop him from selling to someone, I couldn't get the injunction.
According to Rabbi Simcha, you couldn't.
Right. Yeah, but it seems according to I would say that probably everyone agrees with that.
But if you have an ongoing right, you could.
Right. You know, I
can't get an injunction for me to. It's a kind of a weird thing. What it really means is that you can't stop me from selling to him, but you can take the land from him once it happens.
Right.
But you can't stop me in any case because you have no right.
Right.
The right.
Right. He,
really
he becomes my agent, but I have
correct.
No relationship.
You have no
to
right
him.
To me.
Yes.
What if Shlomo moves in and you don't like the way he's a bad neighbor? I'm sure, I mean, just theoretically. and so 5 years later, you're saying...
No, so that's what the Rambam says. You know, once he's in there and
once you help him move in and so
once
on,
you help him move in.
Oh, okay, once you move in, it's finished.
Right.
Okay.
No, you can talk to some of my guys from Brooklyn.
Yeah, okay. That's not necessarily a halachic approach here.
There are ways to handle it.
Okay, so now according to Rabbeinu Simcha,
baseball bats.
For sure the guy doesn't. The bar mitzvah still retains his rights because his view is that in fact the Gemara is only talking about, the Gemara is clearly talking about Shlomo. Right? It's not talking about Calvin, and this is a case of Calvin. The tour code.
According to this, the sale hasn't taken place yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it doesn't have its rights until the sale. Until
right.
The sale takes
place. Right. In our case, as we're sitting here in the basin, nothing has happened.
Yeah.
And any discussion of mechila is irrelevant to it. Right. The tour quotes the opinion of the Rama. Because of Rama, im amr bifnei edim, havu alai edim shenistalakti. I get up and I say, I hereby announce in front of these two witnesses that I want nothing to do with this. I have separated myself from this. Ein tzorach yoser, that's it. Sherot zolom and nistalki b'din b'kinyan. That's as good as a kinyan. Pirish. Gam hu dafka d'ro imrach b'mocher. But that's only if this whole idea that you need a kinyan, that's only if I didn't speak to the mocher. Aval imrach b'mocher is v'nirei b'hani dami. What if the mocher turns to me and says,
like in our case.
Our case. Yeah. I'll sell it to you for the same money as his. Right? Bingo. Right? This is the Ramah is talking about our case exactly.
Right.
Go sell it whatever you want. Why are you bothering me? The lo ba'inole, I don't want it. Lo tzarech mikne mine. That's good even without a kinyan. The exact opposite. Mm-hmm. What's the logic behind it? It's what we said beforehand. You offered the same price. You offered the same price to me, the same price to Shlomo.
So there's no secret gain here.
Right.
But Ramah is not Sparty, right?
What?
Yeah.
That's true. Sparty. That is true. The Ramah is not Sparty, and neither is Rabbeinu Simcha. The Rambam
is.
What? No, the tour is not.
No, the tour is not.
So now, this case now has gotten interesting because the question is, the Gemara is very clear at first blush that if I'm mocha without a kid, with a kid and gone without a kid. But now we see that that's irrelevant. Why? Because I never spoke if this is the, it's a very different case if I am mochel to the buyer and if I'm mochel to the seller. According to Rabbeinu Simcha, if I'm mochel to the seller, anything that's done beforehand, mechil is worth nothing. According to the Ramah, if I'm mochel to the seller, then you go down a kinyan, it's everything. Right, mash mina kotzer la kotzer, from one end to the other. 180 degrees we have here. And we have $5 million riding on this.
Who's Rabbeinu Simcha before the Torah or after?
The Ramah is before Rabbeinu Simcha. Right, those, that's who we really care about.
Okay.
Hagos Oshi has the following comment. Venira, the Dafka Shalokeh Bo Rishol, the Motzi Omore Mishdata Nibach, Kevin Shalohik Nemimenu, Kaf Pirish Rashi. So he says, we said, what's the reason for this? I could always say, I was kidding. Why was I kidding? I was kidding because I wanted you to buy this. This was a business decision. You're still my shliach. Aval im hamocher bal hamecher bal remocher v'lo ratzliknos umachal ha'arter pshita dro mafkinen minei dro gar mahanet tsriri v'hanis shara v'ezel v'itrich v'aisin zuzi dro natrinam rei. So he says, however, he says, what's the case here? He said, what? He said, if it came to the mocher and he didn't want to sell it to me, and then he sells it to someone else, that for sure that he doesn't do it, because the guy can turn around and say he's a bad sales. What does it mean as follows? Let's say Cal wants to sell his house, and Cal says $800,000, same price for everyone. So I say, okay, I'll take it. He said, Rap, we've been neighbors for years. I see how many times the foreclosure sign went up. Right, I see how often they turn off your gas. I see how often the cable gets cut. You don't pay your bills. You don't pay your bills. I'm not doing business with you. I'm selling to Shlomo. So he says, in that case, if there was a good reason not to sell to me, then in fact, Shlomo, he's not my shliach. Because it's not the same deal.
He doesn't get the money from Shlomo.
Because it's not fair to Shlomo. Because I'm not turning around saying, Shlomo, you paid.
Right, because I don't know the relationship. I don't know the things he's done wrong. I'm going to get messed over.
If I am not a good buyer...
Then you're not a good buyer for him, too.
You're not a good buyer for him, too.
Right.
But what if you show up with the $800,000?
Let's again, if there's some reason or another why you don't want to do business with me.
Wow.
Again, and that decision was made by him.
It's not so shocking nowadays. Any seller,
no, I get
buyer
that,
can
but
do
what,
that.
What's unusual here
the
is
seller
that
has a right
right.
To not sell
right. He,
right.
You have the right.
Okay, so this is the background. The question is, what
we're
are the possible?
We're not like the guy. Right?
The bottom line, again, if we're going to have a machokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, who am I going to follow here?
The Mechaber.
I'm going to follow the Mechaber.
Oh, because he's farming.
Right. Yeah. Right. Unlike my natural inclination towards the Ramah, I'm going to have to overcome that natural inclination.
Right.
Right. Right.
As the Rav Ovadia used to write.
Right. Right. So again, so I'm not one of them. I'm one of him now.
Yes.
So here's what the Shulchan Aruch says, number 7. Nimlach ha-mocher b'bein ha-meitzer, rimko ro b'osim damim, v'amorei, zil zvin ra'amod ro b'inan lei, ro tzorcho miknei minei. Right?
No Kenyan necessary.
No Kenyan necessary. So that would indicate what? That he's out. But the question is, we saw that there are many ways of reading that. So we are lucky because the Mechaber wrote the Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote other books. What else did he write? He wrote the Beis Yosef. He wrote the Kesef Mishnah. Both very well known. He wrote the Afkas Rochel. Less well known. But thankfully, he has a tshuva in the Afkas Rochel discussing the case of Dina the Bar Metzra, of our case. And he discusses Rabbeinu Simcha, and he gives his opinion on that. And he says as follows: Keva de Nilcha Divrei Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha is out. They're pushed away. We don't follow Rabbeinu Simcha. Okay? So once Rabbeinu Simcha, so if we would have followed Rabbeinu Simcha, it's Chazer. Rabbeinu Simcha is the guy who says that I could have been mocha with a kinyan to Cal, and it wouldn't have made a difference. So that's off the table. But what about the Ramah? Hecha dekana mocha miyad matzrin. Bikinyan suda ikolamim de mocher odif mirokeach. The afagav de be omer rokeach zil zov in sarach miknemine. Yam remocher ziv is zivin. Lo sarach miknemine.
Can you translate that,
Chappelle? I could. I want
to
see.
That would be great.
Okay. So it says as follows. He said, since we don't follow the Rabbi Simcha, once the mocher, once Cal, made a kinyan with me, with a kinyan suda, chalim, we just picked up a handkerchief, you can say the mocher, adav mirokeach, the afagad, the emes, that in that case, it's even more valuable than if I made the kinyan with Shlomo. Why? Even if I said to Shlomo, go buy it, I need a kinyan. If I told Cal, I don't even need a kinyan. So who does this sound like? This sounds like the Rama.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he's going to hold like the Rama. Now, assuming he holds like the Rama, then what? Who wins?
The
Ashkenaz. The Ashkenaz involved. Right? Then Shlomo wins. Right? Right? Shlomo, who also known as Jones, he's going to win. Right? Because once I tell Cal I'm not interested, and even if I told Shlomo I'm not interested, that's because I wanted to get the better prize, that logic doesn't apply here anymore.
Right, once I told
right? Cal. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying clearly that in this case, we're going to go there. But wait, there's more. The Gabi Rokeach, Irokonomine, Matsurumim, Mishtat Izibach. I can say to Shlomo, I was kidding. Ha ha. Why station tikochena? Know that you should buy it. Shiro yoda hamochesh ani rotze. Because if Cal knew I wanted it, he would have sold it to me. Oh, you mother also dumb him. You car him. We'd raise the price. Mishivuyev. He asked you to charge me more than it's worth. Because it's near my border. That's why I let you buy it, mishivuyev. Etnani b'meka chayotcha. Thank you. However, when Cal says to me, you can buy it for the same price, and then he says, I say, go sell it, I don't need it, it doesn't make any sense. I don't even need a Kenyan. Didn't indicate I'm serious. So it seems to me that the Sfaradi halacha would be clear that who wins?
It sounds like Jones still.
Jones, right? He seems to be spelling
third
it out.
Third party buyer.
The third party buyer, yeah.
But wait, there's more. Im Tim Saloma, the Choka Hai Gavna, the Imlich Be Mocha Rizvune Re, Bahani Dami, Vamare Zil Zavin La Alma, the Robe Inon Re, Modura Bin Simcha Shahachi Kosov. So he said that in that case, even Rabbeinu Simcha would admit that once I gave the go-ahead, he's free to sell whatever he wants. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't, but we don't follow Rabbeinu Simcha. So that's he thinks that in this case, there's no. This is actually our case, you'd think. Just let's go buy it. So because he said that in the event, he said, if I say you can sell it to that guy, that's one thing. But if I just say whoever you want, I have no interest. That's the price. So I'm out. But Zohar Rokeach came to Amar HaMatzon lo be'inam le, v'kona lo nase shlucho shel matzon. Once I say that I don't want it, I'm saying specifically, I don't want Shlomo to be my shliach. It's one step beyond. Right? Once I make the statement, whoever it is, right? He's not my shliach. So I turn around and say, now too late?
That's a big difference.
How do you imply that?
Right.
How do you imply that? You could use the exact opposite logic. The fact that I said I don't want is because I wanted a better price.
No, but this one,
you offered
the same price.
It's the same price. Okay, yeah. In this case.
Right? We all have the same price, and I say, I don't care. I'm saying, I don't want it to be my shlich. I'm not interested
in
buying this house.
You really don't want it.
Got it. So even though, so you say, yeah, I can't do it beforehand. Yeah, beforehand, I have no rights, but beforehand, I can say, I don't want you to be my shlich.
Got it.
I don't understand why, if he's offering it to you at the same price, why you'd say, no, sell it to whoever you want, if you really want it. Why would you do that? What's the strategy
that's
there?
That's exactly showing that you're not interested.
You're not interested.
You waive your rights.
There is no strategy. That's what he's saying.
Because it was too much money. He didn't want to pay that much money.
That's it.
You can't change your mind later.
That's it.
It's the same amount.
Yes. Man in the purple shirt.
Right.
Going back to the story where Smith bought that...
Our case,
that driveway.
Right, okay. The 8 feet.
He already indicated that he wanted the property. So by purchasing that piece, isn't that a Kenyan?
No, it's anything. That's 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And he's made him 10 offers in between. He says right now, he calls up and he says, you want it, $5 million. And if you don't buy it, I'm selling it to this other guy.
No, but Graham has a point. Ahead. He so bought it because he bought that part of the land because he had intentions eventually. His motivation was to get it eventually.
Maybe he bought it and now he bought it because he needed the easement. And now he's expanded his house and then...
No, he doesn't need it anymore. But he does want it. He clearly does want it. He's offered up to $4 million already.
Over the years.
He doesn't want it for $5
million.
Because he thinks he can get it for cheaper.
Yeah, well, but the bottom line is...
When he realized he had to get it...
Words have consequences.
Correct. At the end of the day.
Not in law so much. you know, it's an oral agreement's worth the paper it's written on.
How does he know that he's really got a legitimate offer for $5 million?
That's his point.
Right, right.
Politics.
So
he said, that doesn't matter.
See my boy Trump.
So again, so it seems from here that we might not have been 100% clear in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Afkas Rochel seems to be making it clear that this is what's going on here. Once I follow the Ramah, that once I say to the Mocher, if the Mocher offers me at the same exact price with the same exact agreement, everything with the other guy was offered, and I say,
Forget it.
It's forgotten.
It's gone.
Said he's not my shliach.
Is the halachic underpinning of the maskana has to do with you? When you say that, you're dismissing him as your shliach.
That's what he's saying.
Because he can't do anything until the mechira is
right. He's using that to explain Rabbi Simcha. The Rabbi simply said, I have no rights to that, but I can really tell him about the shliach.
Yeah.
Right? So that's his point.
There's still more.
Va'af al gav, on the last line here. Deva omer rekoyach mayri. Master the Huadim Boma Ramoche, the time of the cave in the Huro Boi, Talchi and Mikdi Reshriah Bar Koche, said, why don't you say the same thing when I say to Shlomo I don't want it? They to say that I don't want you to be my Shriach. What's it saying? That's what he's saying when he say to the guy himself, it should be worth more. So he said, Afilo Ba Omer Ramoche asked you the cave in the Kushta de Milsahu, the Ro Havi Boi Rebe Hahi Shata Romotzi Mikdi Reshriah. He said, I don't want you to be it now. I'm not saying that I never want you to be it. So there's a case where it says that Reuven sold the house to Shimon. And he said, I promise I'm going to get, don't worry, I'll make sure you won't have trouble with the neighbor. And the neighbor said, I don't even want to buy it. I just don't have the cash. Surprise! He came, he did it. Came the low kanu, there was no Kenyan. Kid a possible repair come a cabal. Shemashish Rabbeinu Meir, so I feel imach be mocher tzorcha mekneu mine. He says, wait a second. Well, what happened? In that case, he said to the mocher, I'm not going to do it, and he still allowed him to do it. So how do you say that? So didn't the Machaber just say Dafkas Rochel? Say the other way. Ikro meim with the Haynu Dafka Hechad the Torah Hatam sheino chafetz bo v'fi sheino lo mos to give you chafetz bo v'eino meiniach v'knosa. He said, well, that was different. He said he didn't say I don't want it. He said I don't want it
because I've got money. And now I've got enough money.
So it means that really I do want it, but I don't have the cash. So really I'd like it to be my shliach, and really I'd like to buy it, but I don't have the cash. If he gets the cash on time, he can do it. He says, the reason I'm not doing it is because I don't have the cash. I mean, if I get the cash, I'm in. If I make king, so this is a big chiddush. He's saying, there's a difference if I say I'm not interested or I'm not interested because. If I say I'm not interested, then it's out. If I say I'm not interested because, I could undo the because.
It's like an altanai.
Now let's take apply this to our case. Did he say I don't want it, or I don't want it because?
He was this guy was saying because. I don't couldn't afford it.
The because well, is because he's selling it for a cheaper price.
Oh, so he said I don't want it because I think you're lying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So if he's saying I don't want it because I think you're lying, if I find out you're not lying,
I want it.
It's very different though.
Because let's hear stuff.
No, because in the case here, if the guy says I don't want it because I don't have the actual cash to pay with it, there's a technical problem that he can't consummate the transaction because he does have the money. There's no technical problem here. He just made a bad judgment call. He could have consummated the transaction at any time. He made a bad judgment call. He didn't believe the guy. That is a totally different case. It's not a technical problem. It's
so you're saying there's because's and there's because's.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Or just say because. Don't say why.
There's a because that's inherent to the nature of the transaction, of being able to do the transaction.
So let me try to rephrase what you said. So the case that we were dealing with here, where the guy's on the money, he's saying, I do want it, but I don't have the money.
Right.
Like this guy's saying what?
He's saying you're a liar and you're just trying to jip me.
I don't
he's not saying
that
I don't
you
have
the money.
He's not saying there's nothing. In the first case, the guy says there's something that stops you from doing the transaction, which is I don't have the money. There's nothing stopping the guy here from doing the transaction other than he thinks the guy's not being honest with him. But that's not a technical problem.
So now things get a little interesting. Because let me ask you the following, okay? When I said, Shlomo, go buy it, and Shlomo bought it, and now I'm going to take it from him. Why did we allow me to do that?
Because he's your shliach.
He gave you an advantage.
I'm trying to get a better deal.
Correct.
Right. I'm trying to get a better deal. When I said to Cal, sell it. Why did Smith do that?
Because he thought he didn't have a buy.
Because I'm trying to get a better deal.
Now, I thought he did not have a better offer.
Right. Again, this was.
It's calling the bluff.
Yeah. Right. So the question is, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why should I allow to take it here and not there? You're saying
no. So I'm saying as follows. Right. Now this is, so again. Once the mechaber tells me yesh. Wait a second. The reason that the mechaber said to me is that if I say Shlomo ich bin meichel without a kinyan, I can still come in. Why? Because I could be doing this because I want a better deal. When I say Cal, Cal says, same price for either of you, 800,000. I say, bin Meichel. So then I couldn't have been doing it for a better deal.
Right?
And because it's the same price.
Right. And
but what if
it.
I think that Cal's lying?
And I'm hoping I could get it for 700.
Right.
Instead of 800.
Right. So is that suddenly so different than the case of Shlomo?
What's that?
You think that he's lying when you say the same price range.
You say
you think it's going to get to 750 or 700.
You say I got other offers, but you know because you're a dear friend of mine.
So what? So
this happened to me one time.
So you think you're lying with the original saying that even though I'm offering it to you for the same price that I say I'm offering it to everyone else, but you think. That
it's one thing.
Bluffing.
I'm not.
I think you're bluffing.
Wait a minute. What am I bluffing on?
You're bluffing that you have another buyer.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
You're trying to get 800 out of him, but you really don't have another buyer.
No.
You said to me, it's 800,000 for anybody.
That's exactly right.
That's what you say to me, right?
That's all I'm saying.
Right. So let's say I wasn't your neighbor. And you say to me, 800,000 for anybody. I got 800,000, but you know what? I look at the market, I look at your house, and I say, you know what? I'm gonna sit this out a little bit and see if it comes down.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
So what happens?
In that case, it goes down. For fallen, I lost.
Okay, fine.
But here I'm the neighbor.
But wait a minute.
I have a right to try to get myself the best price.
You could do whatever you want. If in fact you're successful, then you maybe made the right call. But if you're not successful,
maybe the wrong call.
No, that's exactly right. If you're not successful, and I offered you this thing, I offered it to you, and that's what I'm saying. I'm offering it to everyone at the same price, which I also have rights. You know, I have a right not to sell lower.
For sure. Okay. You have a right to keep
it. So I'm offering it to the market, 800 grand. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm offering it to, and I'm offering it to you and whoever else wants to buy. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to have a buyer for that? So I don't need a buyer.
You don't need a, again, you don't need a buyer. Again, at the end of the day, so then, so I thought, I said, you're not going to get 800,000, and I know whoever buys it, I can have it at their price. So why should I buy it from you?
Wait a minute.
I lose is if you get someone who takes it for
850. No, but I'm offering it to you. You told me
that you're interested.
I'm not interested. Correct. I don't care. Correct. Sell it. Fine. So I'll sell it.
Good. And so, you sold it. You got your money, and now you go home. Your case is over for you.
That may be.
Right. Now the buyer.
But why,
he's about to meet his new best friend.
Why would you? Why would that now influence? If you now go along with the idea that if I have given you the first right of refusal,
you didn't give me anything,
and I've come to you and I told you, give you the first right of refusal.
Right.
You turned it down.
Sell it for.
You turned it down. Then
again,
why would you have
right
any
is
other
not
rights?
A right, as we said earlier, my right is not a right of first refusal. Really. My right is that I have a right to take it from the buyer at any price the buyer paid.
If you didn't talk to me, but you talked to him.
Right.
But you talked to me.
So look at Knesset HaGedolah. Knesset HaGedolah says an amazing thing, right? Knesset HaGedolah comments, middle of nowhere. Al Kocha lo ka'amar ha-Rama. So this Rama who says, if it's the seller who comes to me and turns around and says, and I say to him, I don't want it, I only need a kinyan. Zelushon legabe mocha afilu bo kinyan einu yochal lachzabo elk shabora ara acher shekana lokeach avu embora ara kodesh shekana lokeach afilu shekana miyolo yochal lachzabo. So he says, unbelievable. His understanding.
Can you say what that says?
He says as follows. He says, even according to the Rama, if I say I'm not interested in it, right, I give up my rights. Starting at the point where he buys it. But if I come in before he buys it and say, I want it at the same price, I can still have it. That is exactly our case.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
He came back before he buys it.
Yeah. Right. And what's the reason behind it? He says, because the Rama is only saying that it's got to be clear that when you were mochel, it was for real. If there's any indication that when I was mochel, even to the mocher, it wasn't for real, then I can back out.
Well, okay.
Right?
Yeah, but that has to happen before the
so
deal.
Therefore, so now,
which is exactly the fact
exactly
of our
right.
case.
So this is our case.
So the bottom line, we've been watching. We've been watching a ping pong match here. So at this point, who wins?
The neighbor.
The neighbor wins.
Correct.
Because even though the neighbor said I'm ochel, the neighbor always, if he was clear, I only say I'm ochel because he thinks the guy's kidding.
Right.
Right, and therefore, when he finds out, not right away, he comes back instantly.
He says, "I'll give you the same price."
The same
right,
price.
So again, and there was no kinyan on the mechila.
Right.
Right, so therefore, he has the right to do it.
There's a text message.
What? now, what happened?
Too modern.
Now, there a few other interesting points should be considered here. One is. When Gemara talks about the idea of buying my neighbor's property, what property are we talking about?
Property near Eretz Yisrael.
No. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, it's Bavli. It doesn't have to be Eretz
Yisrael.
It's talking about a field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sense having two fields next to each other, right?
Right.
On the, you know, you can plow it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a lot less fencing.
Irrigated.
You don't have to spend time during your day going around somebody else's property.
Having a house next door, is that the same thing as having a field next door?
It depends. It really depends.
In Chicago, they buy the house next door, knock it down, and build
knock
a house.
Knock it down,
build
that, make a
house. So
right.
It does make sense.
Or in our shul, I'm currently living in a house as we speak right now that was bought by the neighbor because they didn't want someone to knock it down. This isn't just theoretical. This is where I'm going to sleep tonight. So the question is, though, but, you know, the idea of the irrigation and that.
Yeah, plowing.
That
harvesting.
Doesn't apply. The Tosfos says, number 11, that the Roar Adin of the Bar Mitzvah does not apply to houses.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Right.
Wow.
Right? So according to Tosfos, this whole thing never got off the ground because it's not a field. However, if you look at...
Why is he saying it's different for a house?
Because the logic, again, there's no real reason why I need to own a house next to my house. If I have a field next to each other, so I have, there's less fencing, there's less watching. Right?
But I want to knock that house down and make a bigger house for my family. Why wouldn't it?
So you don't have any rights to knock down the house. So that's what Tosfos says. We don't follow Tosfos. We don't follow Tosfos. But wait, there's still one more. It says as follows. This is unbelievable. It says in number 2, the Gemara says, Le'isha le'yasmin shutfi les beit dina de bar mitzvah. In the event that a woman or an orphan... Or
you mean he got it in an estate as an inheritance.
Right. Then it doesn't apply. Why? The assumption is that women, orphans, do not have access, easy access to markets. So therefore, we don't make it difficult for them to sell because, again, if there's a possibility the neighbor's going to buy, I'm less likely to buy from you. So therefore, we remove that right in order to allow them to sell. So this is a fascinating story.
I'm sorry, I just got lost in that.
Yes.
Could you repeat it? Because
the idea is, obviously, this rule is a certain burden on the seller. Right?
Yes.
It limits your market.
Correct. Yes, yes, yes.
Therefore... The Gemara made a rule that women and orphans and the like, people who do not have easy access to markets, the rule does not apply to those sellers.
They're not forced to sell to the neighbor.
But what about shutfi?
Right.
What?
What about shutfi?
So again, we'll leave that to the side now. I'll tell you the story. So this happened in November of the last year. Okay? And we were rushing. It was the case we heard at the beginning of November. The closing's January 1st, right? We're under, and it's not a simple case, right? This is not a simple case at all, right? There's so many twists and turns. So, and I was going to Israel for Thanksgiving, for your side, right? So I was in Israel this year for Thanksgiving. So the idea was we got to get this out by Thanksgiving, right? That is a bare minimum. So I was stuck writing it. So I had to have the initial draft ready for the Basin to go over and the other Diana before I left. So, in fact, I got it out. I'm walking down the street Wednesday night I left New York. I got to Israel on Thursday, and Sunday night I flew back on the red eye. Sunday, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm walking, I bought some Svarim, I'm walking through Meshurim, and this little guy, Svarti guy, the black suit, comes running over to me. I figure, well, what do I got in my pocket? Mm-hmm. Right? And he says, Rabbi Rapp! I said, what? I haven't seen this guy in years. Mm-hmm. I said, weren't you in Toronto? No, I moved to Israel. What are you doing? I'm learning in the call by Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. I said, Yaakov Hillel, you're becoming Makubal? So he said, no, he's a Choshen Mishpat call. So I see he's holding a Pesach Choshen, right? And I see there's a shin on it. And I said, oh, I was hoping it was Shechinim. I'm milling this big case in Shechinim. And I have to pass him like a Sephardi. He said, what case of bar? He said, we did the whole Elul, our kol only did Dina the Bar Mitzvah. I said, really? So I said to him, he said, tell me, the person who's selling it, does he own it individually or jointly with his wife? Hmm. So I said...
Something you never thought about.
Right. I never thought about this, right? He said, Marad Rebavadya Paskins... That if a woman is even a partial owner, no Dina Mitzvah. And a million years I would have never thought of this. So I said to him, I researched, I never saw this. He said to me, because it's not in Rav Avadya, it's in the Tzitz Eliezer. There's a case that Rav Waldenberg and Rav Avadya sat together, And
they were dayanim and they were,
right? Yeah. And the Tzitzel is a paskin dit, but Rav Avadya paskin dit. And if therefore, if there's a partnership.
No, so what's
so I case? Said to him, where is it? He said, it's either Cherek Zion or Cherek Vav or Cherek Zion.
So he sent you.
So I said to him, if you can look it up.
It's
so that. So what happened was so from there I went to Rechavia, I dropped off my stuff, I went to the Kotel to dive in Mariv, I went to Mamila to have dinner, I was going to the airport. In Mamila I get an email for this guy, a 3-page tshuva the Kotel wrote for me.
Whoa. Wow.
Right? He said he came back, he said there's this case going on in New York, $5 million, everyone got working on it. I get a word file. I didn't have a chance, I just forwarded it to the other Dayanim. I said, I haven't read this yet, but we're going to have to discuss. So I come back, and look, there is no tshuva like this. I tell the guy, there's no tshuva. What are you talking about? So finally he sends me this one, this tshuva over here. Now the problem is, this tshuva does not mention Rav Avadya. There's no mention, just the tshuva him. So he says, if you look at the Piskei Dinim Rabbaniim, you'll find the same tshuva there, and they'll list the three Dayanim.
Which means Rav Avadya was masking to this.
So who were the three Dayanim for this? Tzitz Eliezer was the Yoshev Rosh. The other two were Rav Avadya and Rav Yosef Kapach.
Also another.
Right? So in there they write that if there's even a woman at all, that's it. That right away there's the whole thing's off the table.
Even if she's not a widow.
Yeah. Right. So that's such a chiddush. What's interesting is, I'll tell you, you'll get a kick out of this. Who was the buyer in this case in 1963? Rav Amram Bloy. Can you imagine that?
Carta.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable case. So the question is, this is really a tough position to take. One is, women don't have access to real estate markets.
Yeah.
57% actually is the number. 57% of realtors are women. Right? Maybe if it's a man, he shouldn't have right. That's A. B, she's if there's ownership, she's a silent partner. She never showed up in the basement. We never heard a word about
it. You don't see it on any contract?
What?
No, saw the contract.
Okay. So that's why, if you look back at the psak, we make note of the following, right? According to public records, third line, the house is owned by the Goldberg Family Trust, with Jack and Isaac Goldberg as trustees.
Mm-hmm. There's no name of a woman.
We just put that in, right? We added that afterwards. That we didn't ask that is your wife, etc. We looked at the public records.
Yeah,
and said that. We also make a footnote at one point, where we commented on the fact that even if there's a woman involved, we don't pay attention to that. And we footnoted to the Tzitz Eliezer without mentioning Rav Avadya. Right? That means that, so we wanted to make it clear that we were aware of it. And, you know, you could make the argument. And we would have, in a million years, I would have never even found this, because Rav Avadya never writes it. Right? The Tzitz Eliezer writes, and then if you do the research, you find out that the Rav Avadya Taka was, and Rav Kapach with the other two Dayanim. So the bottom line is, the decision was that Smith gets to buy it, even though Smith says, I am Mochel, and even though he says he was Mochel to Goldberg, the bottom line, he said, was the reason. And the reason was the same, because he wanted to get a better price. And the only reason that the Mochel is different than the Kona is because of whether or not he's trying to get a price. Clearly, he was trying to get a better price here. Right away, when he became aware of the fact
that there is no better price,
he rushed back instantly, running after it.
And he wants
as that, we gave him the right to get the $700,000 property for the bargain basement price of $5 million plus the tenant.
But at the end of the day, there was no mention of a woman on the.
No, party. There was not.
So
there was not, but we didn't ask them. We didn't ask.
What do you mean you didn't ask? I'm not sure.
They didn't bother me that it was a house, and they didn't bother me that potentially there was a woman who owned it.
Oh, so you just.
Right, again, I will call it, even if this is a trust, so the trustees are, that doesn't mean that the people who are underlying owners of the trust, the beneficiaries, weren't women.
No, but I mean, but if there was...
If there was a woman, we would have had to think longer and harder.
I mean, let's imagine that there was.
I am, again, as one of the three votes, I would have still given it to Smith.
But Smith was...
Yeah, well...
Smith, Smith, this is me. Neighbor. I'm Smith.
Oh, okay.
I'm Smith.
Okay. It's the neighbor that wants it.
All right.
So why would the Natura Carta is not a Spartan, right?
No, no.
So he, why would he go to a Spartan?
He was one of the parties.
He went to the chief base then, and it just happened to be two Sephardi Dayanim that day, you know.